Mackenzie Atwood here. Welcome to the kickoff of Season 2 of the Steven Universe Podcast. I'm so excited to be able to bring you guys another in-depth look at the making of one of my favorite shows, and this time we're going to be exploring the people and places that make up the Steven Universe world. We're talking about the cast of characters and their surroundings, and of course, the music, and we're going to be doing it with the Crooniverse. And I'm sure you can guess, of course, we're going to be starting off today with the star of the show, Steven Universe. Zach Callison, who voices Steven, and Grace Rolek, who voices Steven's best friend, Connie, are both back to talk about their character's relationship and growth and some of their favorite moments and favorite songs in the show. And Steven Universe himself drops in to answer a few questions on his own. But before we get to all that, let's start the conversation about Steven with creator Rebecca Sugar and former executive producer Ian Jones-Cordy. Thank you guys so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, totally.
So let's jump into it. There's been a lot going on in this past arc of the whole fallout from the Homeworld debacle. And Steven's gotten a lot of development. I know that you talk about how you've based Steven off of your brother Steven Sugar, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it would be cool to talk about the ways that he's like similar and different and how they've sort of diverged or converged as Steven has developed. So like what parts of Steven's arc or personality are drawn from Steven Sugar and what's completely original?
Well, I think that one common thread between Steven the character and Steven my brother is that he can be really selfless, especially when it comes to sort of cheering me up when I'm down. I think in a lot of these stories, he's sort of putting himself second.
A lot of the stuff that, at least from what I remember, like going back to the beginning of the series, a lot of Steven's temperament came from Steven, the real Steven.
Mm-hmm.
Some of like his love of like goofy jokes, just sort of doing weird things to get a laugh out of people. That's very much
that's
something that your brother does.
That's really Steven.
That's like, you know, a thing that actually the Steven in the show doesn't do as much as the real Steven is puns. We started out with having Steven do
a lot
puns,
of puns. Yeah, but Steven does
but
way more than the character.
The real Steven, he does so many puns that it's like, it would be unrealistic to make it a cartoon character. It's like,
I've witnessed that. Yeah. It's real.
Yeah.
That's true.
But yeah, stuff like that, I would say, like, was a real good jumping off point. Just the general temperament of being a good friend and a good brother and wanting to, you know, bring a smile to someone else's face. That's sort of like Steven as a character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So talking about, you know, Steven from episode one, Gem Glow, a joke I see a lot of people make is like the episode one Steven, you know, Steven is upset about his ice cream getting discontinued, and like episode 100 of Steven Universe is like, Steven bears the weight of his mother's war crimes in front of an intergalactic court or whatever.
It's a fun meme, but actually in episode one, Steven is worried that his power isn't going to work.
Right.
And he is sublimating those feelings onto ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So like,
there is depth in the view.
Yeah, it was always very like, you know, dark, because like, you know, he was worried that he wasn't a full person.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get what people are going for with that, but it's not quite, I don't know if it's quite accurate.
I mean, part of that too was like when I was pitching the beginning, I had some writing for the, I think what was going to be the first episode, maybe it was even the shield board, where I was sort of like the beginning was like, Steven sits on the beach and thinks about the fact that he'll never know his mother.
Yeah,
and
very dark.
That raised the flag at the time. People were like, "What is this
going to
be?" And I'm like, "Oh, this is an important."
And
part
it
of
wasn't
the show.
So much that we wanted to stop going that deep with Steven's character. It's just that because he's a kid, he can take those sort of deep thoughts and imprint them on, you know, more relatable things like his ice cream going away, not being able to transform into a cat, like, you know, like sillier stuff.
Right.
You know,
things that are like an immediate problem for him in that moment.
Yeah. But they become stand-ins for his actual like existential problems.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You should watch that. Yeah. And I would say like as far as his arc goes, I can speak to the beginning of the series and you could go into the later.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
But I would say like, okay, so there's two big tent poles. The first one is Steven and the Stevens. Kind of up until that point, Steven and this was by design, we basically kind of took the real Steven's personality, amped it up to 11 to have him be the most annoying, most tag-along, like, little kid possible. And that was the joke. I mean, we all thought it was hilarious. I
don't, wait, like, Steven and the Stevens?
No. Everything before that. Mm. Steven and the Stevens is where he realizes that he's annoying. Like that.
Yeah.
Yes. Because something that I always find really funny about any kid as they grow up is, and it happens to some people in dramatic ways and some people less dramatic, but you have no awareness of the world outside of you. And you just think, like, well, I'm having fun. I'm great. These are all things I like. So yippee. And you're just super annoying, you know, and you're like, you have no realization that there are other people in the world.
Right. There's that moment where you realize other people have had experiences that you didn't have, and they didn't have your experiences that you had.
Mm-hmm.
And a
light goes off.
Yes.
And actually, so Steven and Stevens is that for Steven, where he finally is outside of himself and he's like, wow, I can be really annoying, you know? And he actually, that original Steven is gone. But I think, like, the new Steven, seeing what came out of that, is kind of like, from that point, he is, like, a little less annoying.
My favorite part of that is the, what's it? The what have we become? And then one of them is like, what have we become? I think, yeah. Oh, I forget.
Man,
that wasn't my joke, was it? Am I being? I think we all picked it in the,
I think
it happened
Joe,
in the room.
Yeah,
it was me, someone between me, Joe, and you.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Joe wanted to put a pilot Steven in that group of Stevens.
Oh, yeah. Did I veto that?
No, I think it was in there, and we actually sent it, but they didn't draw it.
It is there. It's just, they were very used to drawing shows.
It's a shame.
Steven.
It's a shame.
Because that's a Sun Min episode.
Yeah,
Sun Min.
Yeah.
They didn't work on the pilot.
They didn't work on the pilot, yeah. And then the second tent pole is the test, where...
Yeah, the test is huge for him.
Where... Steven, for once, actually gets to see the gems talk about him without him there. And then from that point on, I think he kind of changes a lot there, too. That's kind of where things switch from the gems keeping Steven in a bubble to Steven keeping the gems in a bubble.
Yeah, that one is so pivotal because up until that point, he thinks they have some sort of plan for him and mm-hmm. that he has been... doing a bad job keeping up with it, and it's the first time that he sees them admit that they don't really know what they're doing, and they don't really know what's going to happen to him. And I think the most interesting thing about it is that he, in a way, he almost takes a... It's not that he takes a step backwards, but he ends up lying to them for the first time ever.
Yeah.
By making them believe that they're
competent.
And in a way, it's almost like a revenge move because they've been sheltering him from the fact that they don't know.
Yeah.
And it makes them look really kind, it's sort of deceitful. And then he does the same thing to them, which is like,
it's complicated.
He shows them the kindness of like making them feel like they just did a good job, mm-hmm. which is what the whole test is. Big fake thing that will make him feel like he did a mm-hmm. good job, which will keep his confidence up. And he just does that to them, and everything that's cruel about the fact that they were doing that to him. Yeah. He does it to them, but he also, like, sincerely, he does it in a way that's sincerely kind.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the most complex emotional moment in the show.
And the test kind of came out of, like, you know, those first episodes. We had them done. And I think we had all kind of understood within the writers' room that the gems were kind of taking him along on these missions as, like, this tag-along kid and sort of, like...
And they're all softballs.
They're like, softballs, yeah. And they're all kind of like, ooh, what would you do, Steven? You know? And
right.
I think we got that, but then when we saw the actual episodes come back, it was like, oh, we should explore that some more. That was one of those things that presented itself,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Well, a lot of those episodes were unpacking... Because all that stuff you had seen up till then, like, Steven didn't really know what the context was for what these monsters were, for what these missions were, for what the gems are at all. Yeah. So we had to unpack it, like, one thing at a time. Like, mm-hmm. what are the monsters really? What are these missions really?
Yeah.
What are the gems really? Like, just...
Yeah, it was all kind of setting the table.
And then,
by the test, we were able to actually, like, dig in a little deeper and tell people what those missions kind of were.
Yeah.
And then past that, what are Steven's big tentpoles?
Oh my gosh. Well, I think...
Mindful is a big one.
Mindful is big. Mm. Well, Marble Madness is kind of big in the way that he... And I think Marble Madness can't happen without the test because he takes the lead.
Because he's basically like, oh, we're actually in a situation where Steven kind of knows a little more than the champ.
Yeah, he takes the lead, but only because he knows that they're in over their heads, mm-hmm. which is a state that he's comfortable in. Yeah. But then everything gets worse. There's a lot of like up and down. Mm-hmm. You know, jailbreak is huge for him. But like, Mindful is big. I mean, everything I think is kind of leading up to Are You My Dad, I Am My Mom, where Steven finally feels like he can make a decision that big on his own, right, and like really take responsibility.
Whether it's right or not, he feels like he can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Like explicitly defiant to the gems. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many tentpoles. Warped Tour is a big tentpole.
Oh, Warped Tour is a big one.
Yeah.
The first time he actually gets Warped really Tour, frustrated
gets,
with them.
He gets mad at the gems. For real.
And then, but, Dream is big too.
Yes,
I remember working on Dream or Steven's Dream when he finally really cusses them out for keeping him in the dark about stuff, and he knows they do it, and he knows they kept doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I remember being in the room working on the scene where he holds the book up in their face, and it's just like, I know you know about this, and like really,
it was. It's always a treat to see Steven transform into from happy-go-lucky Steven into sort of like moody teen Steven.
He's 14.
Where he's like, okay, I'm going to drop the act for a second. I know there's things going on that you're not telling me.
Yeah, right. And I think a lot of that too, like his brightness is very much to keep things mm-hmm. calm. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of that is for them. I think he needs it too, but... It gives them a false sense that he is less aware of what's going on than he is.
Absolutely.
And I think he's just sort of used to that, used to knowing that that's the status, sort of the status quo. Even as he becomes more and more aware, he kind of keeps up this illusion that, mm-hmm. and the test is a part of that too.
Yeah.
He absolutely does that in the test. I think that's where he starts doing it.
Where he starts
and he
growing that facade.
Yeah. But then the cracks start to show.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't even thought of how important that episode was, but it's definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big turning point for the character.
It all sort of paid off in the recent arc, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Thank you guys so much for coming and talking to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
totally.
Okay, Zach Callison, the voice of Steven Universe, and Grace Rolick, who voices Steven's best friend, Connie, are coming up. I am joined by Grace Rolick and Zach Callison today. Thank you guys so much for coming and talking to me.
Hey.
It's a pleasure to be here. So today we're going to be talking about Steven and the influence music has on the show as well. So for Steven, you know, for the whole show actually, you know, songs have been a big part of the character since like episode one. But in this like latest run of episodes, right, there wasn't any songs. And they actually had a gag about it. In Raising the Barn, where Steven like sits down with the ukulele, he's about to play something, and then he just like gets interrupted and it gets cut off. I really loved that. I was like, are they actually doing this?
The show has to be self-referential.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Very meta.
What did you guys think about that? The fact that like there wasn't any song, like the just the difference in tone.
I mean, it shows the power of, you know, our team with how they can tell a narrative, whatever the way they want to, whether it's through music, whether it's through just straight drama.
Mm-hmm.
I like on a physical level, you know, singing the songs is the hardest part of the show for me. So it's a bit of a breather from that, especially after, you know, big episodes like Mr. Greg and a lot of songs packed into a short period of time. But I did miss them because it's nice to hear a new Rebecca tune every 3 weeks or so.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny for me because I wasn't, since Connie was avoiding Steven, I didn't really know what was going on until I got to the episode where we meet up again at the party. And so I feel like as a viewer, it would have been funny to me to be like, oh, what's going on in Steven's head, like through a song, but I didn't get that.
Right.
I didn't get that, the pleasure of knowing.
It was like interesting, I feel like, because it was like, I don't know, it just sort of shown how the show is, like this whole run of episodes. It felt really different, it was more dramatic, like you said. Like it just had a darker tone because like there's so much sad stuff happening. But I felt like that was just like something that stuck out to me, and especially when you look at like episodes like, did you guys like note like the parallel to Full Disclosure back in the start of season two when Steven comes back in the handship and like Connie's trying to call him and she and
right. Yeah, role reversal.
Right, yeah. Did you guys know that? Like, did you pick up on it when you first watched? I had to have someone else point it out to me.
Yeah, when we were going through the boards, I think it was discussed a little bit in the studio.
Nice.
This is sort of becoming a bit of a habit.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Yeah, it's like picking up on each other's behavior.
I didn't put two and two together in a very conscious way, but I definitely... I remember being in the booth. I'm like, oh, they're avoiding each other again.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Why don't you talk to each other?
Just talk it out. Anything can be solved with clear communication and an open dialogue.
Yeah. Mackenzie, did you just go there?
Yeah. I had to. Yeah, I had to bring it in.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, it's your favorite one?
Of my songs. I have other favorites that are not my songs.
What are your favorite songs?
I mean, from that same episode, It's Over.
It's like the goat.
Dee Dee's just enchanting in anything she performs in.
Absolutely.
And her vocals are like goosebumps every time. Seeing her perform it live at Comic-Con, I had to follow her up with both of you, and I was like, I'm gonna just like go up and do my thing and sit back down because I just want to enjoy this.
I was so happy that I didn't have a song to say out after Dee Dee sang. I was just sitting there like in awe. I think you could probably, if anyone has got a video where I was in the frame, my jaw was probably open, like flies were getting in.
Every time she's always like, oh, I'm a little sick. I'll try to hit the high note, and then she just.
Oh wait, I didn't have a cup of tea. Like I'm not warmed up, and then it's just like amazing, and you're like, gosh.
I went and saw her show over the summer, and she did the exact same thing. It's real. She really does do that. Do you have
at
any?
Least she's humble.
Yes, yes.
Very. Yeah. And she'll be the first to tell you like stage fright doesn't ever go away.
Right.
To some extent, and I can attest to that.
Oh yeah,
definitely.
She's been doing theater shows for 25 years.
Yeah. she knows what she's doing.
Oh mm-hmm. yeah.
What are your favorite songs, Grace?
I mean,
from Steven Universe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me see. Let me get my iPod out. Our iPod, man. My phone, technically. I what year is this?
It's horrible.
Yeah, exactly. Apple has taken over. Well, I also love It's Over, Isn't It? Because how can you not? I think... all of this. I mean, I have the entire soundtrack saved on my Spotify, and it was really
so
funny.
Nice to have that.
Yeah, and it was really funny because I remember one time I was driving with Zach, and the Jam Bud song came on in the car, and Zach was in the backseat and was like, "Wait a second!" And it just says like Zach Callison on my car monitor, and I was like, "Yeah."
It was maybe even better because it was in between like a Radiohead song and Father John Misty song.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a very abrupt tone
We're
shift.
On, like our indie.
Yeah,
it's my mixtape.
Yeah, exactly. Like
Jam Bud's in the middle.
We've got like some Kid A happening, and it's like. Like idiotechs going, and then all of a sudden it's like some nice bright ukulele.
Yeah.
it's always good to keep a balance.
Yeah, that happened when I was in your car too.
Yeah, 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 yeah. When we went to downtown. Oh man,
was that when we went to JPL with the crew?
No, I'm pretty sure that was when we were in Sacramento for a convention.
Oh yeah,
yes, yeah,
yeah. The songs, I mean, like I'm not even mad though because like you know the songs like pop up when you're not expecting. And
yeah.
Then it's like, oh.
It's really wholesome. And it's funny when it happens with, like, friends that I've had since, like, early high school from
right.
my pre-Steven Universe days. And they're like, Grace, stop showing off. We get it. You're on a cartoon. Like, I'm like, no, it's just so wholesome. I want to listen to it.
Yeah.
I'm great until, like, one of my songs comes on. Like, I cannot get to skip fast enough. It's like the sound of your own voice thing.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I'll, like, sit down and listen to it, like, if I prepared myself just to be critical of it, but I can't just like listen to it in passing or for fun.
Right. I was like, well, is that even a thing? Like listening to your own voice if it's like a character voice, but like it totally is. Like Yeah. You're still you. Like, it, you still know.
Yeah, and you're like, I could have done a better job. Right. There are moments in Do It For Her where I'm like, my vocal performance could have been better.
Yeah.
But it's hard to sing in a character voice because I love to sing, but usually Connie, when she sings, has slightly, I have a very low speaking voice in comparison, and singing, my lower register is much more comfortable for me. So,
relate.
Yeah. Right. I'm one to talk. because Connie's voice is not quite as different as Zach is to Steven's.
It's the same thing. Like, it's not just the voice. It's like the singing in another person's, through another person's brain. That's equally tough.
Because it's not, like you said, it's not just the voice. It's the way that they have, people have a way of talking that's separate from, like, their register, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That you pick up on. Like, I get what you mean. What songs do you think, you've talked about your favorites, both It's Over, Isn't It? Which, same. Like,
it's stronger than use there, too. I forgot.
Yeah.
That was the first one where I was like, that was amazing. And then when Mr. Greg came out, okay, it was like, all right, we can get, like, a nice strong tie here.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Like, there's no way they could ever top this.
Right.
There's no way they can ever match this again. And it's like,
I had to give that one its due.
Yeah.
Turning point.
For sure. Do you have any favorites of the songs that you have had for your character?
Like I said, both of you, for sure.
Yeah.
It was a different shade from Steven that he hadn't had a song in before.
Mm.
Plus, it was part of that beautiful, beautiful episode. And then I feel like at that time, my voice had finally, like, stopped changing, and I'd, like, figured out how to sing in the Steven voice, and I was able to enjoy it a lot more and like, give what I felt like was a really strong vocal performance. There were others in the past where I was very self-conscious about it because I was going through that at the time. And Rebecca and I were still working together to figure out what keys were good for me, because
mm-hmm.
It would change every week. but yeah, at that point, it had sort of leveled off. And I can that's one of the ones I can go back and enjoy.
Yeah.
And listen to on my own.
Be like, nice.
Good going. I'd have to say Do It For Her was a really awesome song to be able to be a part of, because it was awesome to be able to sing with Dee Dee, for mm-hmm. one. I mean, we didn't record it in the studio together, but I think she had already recorded after, so I could hear her singing. And so when I was doing the harmonies, I could hear her in my headphones when I was singing it, and that was so cool. And also, it was the first time I was ever singing in a booth, so it was a really cool experience.
Oh, really?
I performed on stage before, but actually in a recording booth, and kind of adjusting how you're singing to be in front of a microphone that's like a recording quality microphone, as mm-hmm. opposed to just screaming to be loud enough to hear yourself over a live band, is very different, because they can actually mix you.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a really cool experience for me.
I remember I was like, what about Jam Buds? But it's the same episode.
Right, yeah.
It feels they're so far apart because the tone just changes.
Yeah. I mean, Jam Buds was also a lot of fun, but it was cool to be able to hit the kind of emotional range in Do It For Her, because on one hand you're like, awesome, Connie's learning how to sword fight, and then you're getting all of this subtext about Pearl's history and the kind of programming that's kind of not super healthy for a young human girl.
I'm prepared to die.
Yeah.
Like, not good.
It's very representative of the mood swings of the show sometimes.
Yeah.
But it never feels too jarring, though, like, when you're in the moment, but, like,
yeah,
when you're listening to the soundtrack
sense.
And it goes from Jam Buds to
it's
Do
amazing
It For Her, it's like
the highs and lows that can be achieved in an 11-minute
mm-hmm.
time frame.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. so amazing, because I'll be laughing super hard at the beginning of an episode, and then, like, my eyes will be tearing up at, like, the end of it, and I'm like, what just happened? It's only been 10 minutes.
At Bismuth, at the beginning, I was like, yay, new team member, and at the end, I was like, no, team member gone.
Yeah, it was not great. It was like,
that was one of the most freaky scenes in the whole show for me.
Yeah.
It was the fight scene at the end of Bismuth.
It was crazy. That was, like, that was the first big thing that Steven went through, I feel like, that was, like, because there's a lot of things that came back to haunt him, but that one really stands out, you know?
Yeah, it's a little scarring. This person that he thought was a friend is now, like, coming after him for something he didn't actually do.
Yeah.
Which is sort of a theme now.
Yeah.
no wonder people are asking if he's okay on Twitter.
Yeah. Talking about the way that the mood progresses throughout the episode, I feel like that has a lot to do with the songs, too. Because the songs help, as a way to change the tone or whatever. Are there any musical genres that you want to see in the show for your character or just, any characters in general?
Oh, man. That'd be pretty cool to see some more, rock-heavy stuff.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm working on some rock music of my own right now to release soon, and that's my sound. When I sing with with Zach's voice, I have a lot more gravel. That's my natural inclination. And it would be cool to bring that into this. And I do a lot of hip-hop influence stuff on that music as well. And we did Steven's secret rap career outside the guise of the show. But it's been since Cookie Cat since we actually did hip-hop on the show itself. So that'd be cool. Maybe together, because that's where I sort of live.
Right.
That'd be a lot of fun. Yeah, I feel like with Connie, I remember when Rebecca was telling me about Do It For Her. She was like, it's very Broadway inspired, and that is super awesome. I'm super into that, but that's not exactly where my musical interests are coming from, so it'd be cool to sort of marry that with something a little bit more in line with my taste. But honestly, when it comes down to it, I'm like, I trust the artistic vision of everyone involved on the show. I'm like, I am just here to help you execute your vision.
Make me a tool.
Exactly. I am but a mere tool in the toolbox that is the Steven Universe cast. Utilize me.
Okay, cool.
Can I be a Phillips wrench?
Okay, cool. Thank
There's
you
no
guys.
Such thing as a Phillips wrench, is there?
I don't know.
It's a Phillips screwdriver.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have known. I was just going to go along with it.
Yeah, I was just going to go.
Come on, Zach. Why'd you say anything?
Okay, guys. Thank you so much for coming on and talking to me.
Awesome.
Thank you for having us again.
Super cool.
So what does Steven Universe think about podcasts? Well, we're going to ask him, coming right up. All right, I am sitting here with Steven Universe. Steven, thank you so much for joining me.
Of course, anytime.
Okay, cool. So let's jump into it. I have a question from Twitter. Who is your favorite character in Crying Breakfast Friends?
Oh, man. I really like the egg because he has, a lot of emotional scenes, but he's also got this really good redemption arc thing going on in the storyline. And I've been following that a lot lately.
Yeah, I love that one too. I've got the same question from about five different people on Twitter just asking if you are doing okay with, recent events and everything.
Kinda.
Yeah?
Better with Connie around.
Good.
Thanks for asking.
No problem. And then I have a question from Justin, who asks, what advice would you give someone who feels like they're less valuable than others in the group?
That's a good question. I used to feel less valuable in the crystal gems than the other gems because I didn't have powers and I thought that they didn't want me on missions. But everyone has a place, and sometimes it takes a long time to find yours, but if you keep moving forward, you always will.
Nice.
I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that will be helpful. And then I have one more from Maya, who wants to know, what kind of podcast would you make if you were going to make a podcast?
Ooh, I've been planning this. I really want to do a show or a podcast or something about rock bands from the 80s, like my dad, because he's told me a lot of fun stories from back in the day, and they used to wear crazy clothes, and I could do my hair like them for the podcast.
You know that podcasts are just audio, so you don't have to, style your hair or anything.
Oh, I wanted to get in character. You mean they don't even take pictures? Is that allowed?
No, I mean, it's fine. That would be allowed, but if you're getting in character, then I can understand why that would be important.
I'll do the full wardrobe, too.
Okay. That sounds like it would be a great podcast. All right, thank you so much for talking to me.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
The Steven Universe podcast is produced by Stacey Para, Charles Abadje, and Conrad Montgomery. Special thanks to Rob Sorcher, Cartoon Network Studios, and the Crooniverse. Join me next Thursday as we take a closer look at Amethyst with Michaela Dietz, Dee Dee Magno-Hall, Rebecca Sugar, and Ian J.Q. And with a little luck, we might just get Amethyst and Pearl to spend a few minutes with us, too. So be sure to subscribe to the Steven Universe podcast at Apple Podcasts so you never miss an episode. And please leave us a 5-star rating and review while you're there. I'm Mackenzie Atwood, and I will see you next Thursday.